Channel 1 over and a continuation of the visit of Mr. Eastman on Saturday the 15th of November, 69. This is Channel 1 over. Channel 1 over. Beginning of Channel 1 over and a continuation of the visit with Mr. Eastman on Saturday the 15th of November, 69. On the Saturday, November the 15th, 69. This is the beginning of Channel 1 over.
Mr. Eastman, all these little gas heaters, open gas heaters, were out of whack. And it was chiefly the not enough air. Now, have you run into that before?
Yeah, they say to give them air enough to burn, and they're just like a carburetor on a car. The more air you can burn, the less gas you use.
Yeah.
And it's not any more dangerous.
No.
Now you see, this one here...
You get a lot more heat out of burning the air than you do with the gas.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
In the same way with the kerosene heater. You take those gun type, you know, with a fan on them that blows it. The more air that they'll take, the whiter the flame you get. And that's where you get your heat.
Oh. The gun type.
Mm-hmm.
But they blow.
Mm-hmm.
I figured that part of this was gummed up in there, and the gas wasn't coming through.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the trouble at all, was it?
No. But I do think that there's an accumulation of rust that has settled down in that bottom, see?
Mm-hmm.
And I can't get it out with a vacuum cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
And a fellow would have to, what they'd ought to be, it took off in there in the summer and taken to a garage or someplace where they got an air hose, you know, where you can
mm-hmm.
blow the latest out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't get a little air hose, a little air like that, a little pressure air. What do you call it? Air pump?
Air pump? I don't know.
You know, there's a lot of things that would help you could use that for. You'd have to have a little motor.
I'll tell you what I have got. I've got the unit that's a motor and compressor combined off in a refrigerator. And it's all in good shape. The woman had this refrigerator and it got ice up in the freezer parts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes and takes an ice pick, you know, and she was punching in there, and she punched a hole right through the top and let the gas all out. So then, instead of getting that repaired, why, she went and bought a new refrigerator. And she was going to throw the old refrigerator away, so I put the new one in for her, and so she gave me the old one. So I took the old one home, and we used the bottom part of it there for the storage. Put
mm-hmm.
canned goods in one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I took that unit off in the back. I thought I could sell it to somebody because it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody would ever want to. I haven't been able to sell it to anybody. I wondered if maybe I could take that and hook that onto a small tank and have that for, you know, like blowing up your automobile tires, something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wonder about that. You wouldn't need much of a tank.
I used to take these compressors off in commercial jobs and hook them onto a tank for farmers for blowing up their tractor tires.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that's what we need. That's what that'd be nice to have. They have it. You know what you do? There's plenty of air. You know, actually, you don't really need the air, the compressor. All you need is a little tank. And then you can take it over to the service station and they'll pump it up for you. But the trouble with those tanks is that it's easy to puncture them and they don't last forever and they're right costly. Well, you know, they cost $20 or $30 maybe. Well, if you say, Miss Eastman, I don't have to put that...
I wouldn't think so.
You don't think it's worth the trouble?
That's right. I put a good many of them against the house like that. And then when we put those oil furnaces in, we used to set the oil tank down cellar.
Good.
Oh, really?
Nice. I don't think I'd like that.
Yeah.
What, an oil tank down cellar?
Mm-hmm.
I put a lot of them down there.
Yeah. Well,
I don't want to live on top of an oil tank.
I hate to see the mealtime come around. It's really hard work for me to try to eat.
Yeah. Well, you get used to it, won't you? Wouldn't you?
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
There was a fellow up home that had his teeth all pulled, and he claimed that his gums were so hard that he could eat peanuts just as good as he could when he had his teeth.
But that burned. That burned. Now, I never dreamed of that.
And he claimed that he could eat peanuts just as good as he could when he had teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good horse.
Yeah.
I don't have any change. What'd you say?
6 1/4.
Hey, those marches, if it wasn't for television.
Well, probably that's so. Somebody's making a boodle of money out of it.
How you figure that?
Well, they're getting donations all around there to put this march on. And, somebody's... taking them donations there, you know, to pay this and that and the other. Well, they keep a little bit of that along on the for themselves, don't you see? And that's the way it is to this. Now listen, that ain't what I told you at all.
Well, you give me so much advice, Mr. Eastman. Yeah, I feel sort of indebted to you. And
well,
not so much what you do, it's information, I guess.
Miss Eastman, I tell you another thing.
You saved me money.
I tell you another thing. If you know, just to know that you're around and we can depend on you, is just worth a whole lot. I tell you,
the truth. Here, I'm not going to tell you about these cities, these councilmen.
Yeah.
Back, about 10 years ago, no, it was about 8 years ago, I lived 2 winters in the city of Ocala, and I was living down there to the Kennedy Motor Court, and I didn't have anything to do much, and so I'd be up around the park, up around the courthouse, sitting on them green benches, you know, and reading the paper and one thing and another. I see this fellow up there one day, and I thought to myself, by God, I know that fellow, I believe. I sat there, and finally I got up from where I was sitting, went over on the second bench over there. As I went by, I took a good look at him, and I said, by God, well, I believe I do know that fellow. Then I run along a few minutes, and geez, he got up and done the same thing. Well, instead of sitting down, he turned around, and he come back, and he says, I think I know you. Well, I said, that's just what I thought about you. And I said, I think that you're the county judge in Madison County, New York. Yes, sir, he says, that's me. And I says, I'm from up there. He says, was you ever in my court? Well, I says, I was in there one time helping defend a bunch of milk strikers. Says, I know you. He says, you're Eastman. I says, yeah. And you know, we got talking and one thing and another there, and we got quite friendly. And why, we'd meet up there about every day, and we'd walk down around the different parts of Ocala, you know, and admiring the antique beauty of it. He says to me one day, Judge Saunders did, he says, I'll tell you. You know, he says, one of these days before long, he says, going to be an awful change here. He says, they've got a lot of these young whippersnappers, he says, that's got in on the county commission and in on the city council. And he says, here they stand with their hands behind their back, and he says, for a handout. Now, he says, they're talking, changing the street names to numbers. He says, somebody's going to get a big rake off out of the sale of them signs. I says, yes, probably they will. And he says, it's an awful mistake. And while, I says, they claim it's for the benefit of the police and the firemen to know the numbers of the streets instead of the names. He says, yeah, he says, I've heard that, but he says, you know, if any man doesn't know the names of the streets and their location, he says, they no business to be on either one of them forces, either the police or the firemen or the mail carriers. Well, I said, that's right, but he says, somebody's going to get a big rake off out of that. Well, it run along. That was about 8 years ago, and about 6 years ago, I was up home there. And I was there in the bank, talking to the bank president, and in come Saunders. Indeed, he come over, and we shook hands and talked a few minutes. We were talking about Ocala down here. And I told him that they was going to take down the courthouse and them other buildings there and clean them out. He says, if they do that, I never want to see Ocala again. Mm-hmm. Now he says, you know, Ocala is one of the oldest cities in the state of Florida. It was settled by the Indians. See, they come in and they camped around Silver Spring, see, on account of the water supply. And then they come into Ocala and settled in there. And Ocala should have been kept on the antique side, the same as St. Augustine. Mm-hmm. And when they go and tear down all of the old buildings and leave parking places in there, what have they got? They've destroyed the beauty of Ocala. Now, when the old courthouse sat there and you drove around the courthouse, there's only one other city in the United States that I know of. There might be more that I don't know of. Than I know of, but up in North Carolina, there's a city up there, right on Route 15, and I can't tell you the name of that place. I've tried to think it up, and I've tried to check on my records of driving back and forth, and I cannot think the name of that place. But up there, there's the same thing, the courthouse and the center, and you come along up, and you've got to go around the courthouse to go on up through. Well, now, I stopped up there, and we'd done some shopping up there right close by, and I talked to the fellow, to one of the clerks up in there. Why, he said, you couldn't buy that courthouse out of there for love of money. Because they have to drive around it, don't you see? Now, they had the same thing down here, but they destroyed it. Mm-hmm. But that's the way. Now, you take the tourists. They bellyache down there in Ocala about getting the tourist trade. The tourists don't care none about Ocala and the new stores. You can see new stores anywhere you want to go. It's those old antique stores that they want to see. That's the reason that your tourist trade today, they're not coming through America. The tourist trade today is going to Europe to see them old cities. And that's the reason why... Ocala should have been kept on there. But them fellows down there, now look at Glenn Thomas. He just tried to sell the city down there a new sewerage disposal system. That, well, that's not sewerage, but garbage. he wanted to buy all of these hand carts, you know, with a square container on them. And then these garbage trucks would come along, and they'd have a crane with an arm on it, you know, come out and pick them up and dump them. See? Well, now, he was madder than hops because the city wouldn't fall for buying that equipment. Well, he was going to get a big handout. And look at your doggone legislators today. What have they done?
Yeah.
They voted themselves a 1,000% increase in wages.
Yeah.
$12,000 a year for 6 weeks' work.
All at one time.
And I have it all at one time. Now they're hollering to beat the old Harry because the governor says they got to come back into special session. And they're hollering why it'll cost $300,000 to call a special session. Well, they're getting their pay, but they don't want to come back in. Now, in this morning's paper, there's one of the state senators. Can't think of his name right now. But he's going to introduce a bill in there, and he probably won't get very far with it, to cut their salaries back to $6,000.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the way they go, boy. They all got that handy.
Mr. Eastman, do you have one of those little stories about the experiences in the milk war you could tell Barbara? She never heard about anything about like that. I don't mean all of it, you know, it's too long. But just some little experience. But you know, we talked about that up here when you're putting in this water heater. Let me see.
Well, back from 1937 to 1940, we started what they call the Dairy Farmers Union. It was the farmers that signed up to come together under one head to try and get a better price for their milk.
Yeah, it's up in New York State.
Up in New York State, yeah.
Elmira?
Well, no, they had their headquarters. No, I got plenty. They had their headquarters up in Ogdensburg. And that's right up on the Canadian border. And when they voted to strike, they had these strike meetings, and they was organizing there in Madison County. I was one of them fellows didn't know enough to keep my mouth shut. The first thing that I knew, I was elected to the head one of the county. Well, there wasn't only one thing to do after you was elected and you couldn't get out of it.
You'd been a dairy farmer there for a right smart while.
Oh yeah. Yeah, from 1919 till about 1945, we always had a bunch of cows in dairy farm. And then I worked on the side with this other, see, and I hired a bunch of fellas to do the farm work, and I worked out. Well, when they had these milk strikes, some of the farmers didn't want to go away with it, you know. So there wasn't only one thing to do when they started to go to the milk station for their milk was to dump it. And sometimes, where they did get into the station there and they had any milk in there, well, there'd be a bunch of pickets pull in there at night and break into the station and dump what milk they had. I've seen milk a foot deep right on the station floor, right straight around the wall, going right down the drain.
Hmm. Hmm.
And then it was my job as chairman of the county organization when these boys that broke in like that and spilt the milk, they'd get pinched, you know, and they'd get put in jail. Well, I had to chase all over the county getting them out of jail. Sometimes I had to go all over the county to get them out of jail. Well, they can't tell me nothing about strikes of any kind. I've been through too much of it.
Now, let me see.
Oh, I got acquainted with this Judge Saunders that he and I met down here in Ocala.
Mm-hmm. When you was getting some of your boys out of his court.
Yeah. Now, they had, there were six of them that they tried for one case there where they dumped these big tank loads of milk. You know, you've seen these big tankers that draw gasoline.
Yeah.
Well, they have them up there that they draw milk in, just the same as they draw gasoline down here. And they had one big Polack. He'd ride right on the front bumper of a car with a sledgehammer. And they come right along up to the back of one of those big tankers, you know, and one hit with that old big maul right on that valve on the back end, knock it right clean off.
Oh.
And then the milk would run, you know.
And it wasn't anything to do then, no. Except to let it run, huh?
That's right. There was one night, there were four tank loads of milk. They claimed that they were skim milk, but when they come to check it, there was one of them was skim milk, the head one, and the other two was whole milk. They headed for New York City, and they come through the village of Madison, see? And my brother lived in Madison there, and he was the fire chief. Well, they come through there, and they stopped them, a bunch of pickets. They stopped the tank trucks, and when they found out they were whole milk, they just opened right up the valves and let the milk run right down the road. And they run right down, they run into this cellar on one house down there. And geez, the water and the milk run in there, you know, and they couldn't get out. And I don't know, it got 3-4 feet deep in this man's cellar. And geez, they called my brother out of bed to get the fire engine out so they could pump the milk out of that man's cellar.
So you all had plenty to talk about, didn't you?
Oh, yes.
Well, that's nice. What do your wife do to you when you don't get there on time?
Huh?
Yes, sir?
I've had a lot of funny experiences in my lifetime.
Well, you remember them, too. That's a nice thing.
Well, I remember all of them there. There's a lot of people's names that I can't remember back very good.
Mr. Eastman, I thank you.
Okay.
Now, that was the end of the visit with Mr. Eastman on Saturday, the 15th of November, 69. Saturday, the 15th of November, 69. Around 270, Channel 1 over, around 270. They visit with Mr. Eastman on Saturday when he came up to help me fix the heaters and the doors and all those odds and ends. And this is Channel 1 over, 270. Now this is a telephone conversation on Monday, the 17th of November, 69, with Ms. Eastman. Monday morning, middle of the morning, 11 o'clock, the telephone conversation with Miss Eastman. Monday morning, 17th of November, 69, and it shows light on Lois and also on Mr. Eastman's wisdom tooth.
But didn't the jar so he could take the tooth out?
Yeah.
Said he must have hit a nerve and it caused a muscle spasm.
Yeah.
And he said until he can get that worked out, he won't be able to take that tooth out, and he changed the, put a different kind of medicine in it yesterday, and then he's got to go back in again Tuesday and have another dressing put in it until they can get that spasm worked out.
Oh, well,
and, he says
burn.
Until that comes out, he can't do anything with the tooth.
Well, that burn.
Yeah.
Looked like take the tooth out and it would remedy that, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, you see, he can't open his mouth wide enough, you see, for the doctor to get to the tooth. That's where the trouble is.
Well,
see, that spasm in that muscle won't let his mouth open up.
Well, you sure couldn't tell it Saturday when he's up here.
Well, he might not have said anything much, but he was feeling it.
Well, he didn't show it, and he just entertaining. He just told
me. I know. He's like that.
Is he?
Yeah.
You mean he can keep doing that for the...
Of course, he's not in any pain right now.
Yeah.
But it's just the idea that you know, he can't eat nothing. He can't open, you know, all he can eat is soups and things like that, you know, that because he can't even get the spoon in his mouth. All he can do is just get it between his, you know, lips a little bit and work the food in what he can take.
Well, a lot of
and all he can have is soups and, you know, things like that that he don't have to chew on.
Well, I didn't realize he was talking under that handicap up here.
Yeah, he was. And the doctor says it might take a couple weeks yet before that'll, you know, relax so that he can open his mouth wide enough for him to take that up. He don't know how long it's going to take.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those things that we just got to wait on, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you, it's been rough. It's rough on me, too, you see, because, golly, you know, I can't fix anything too much that he can eat other than soups and custards and things like that, you know. And,
mm-hmm.
It makes it a little rough.
Yeah, you don't want to just
live... And he gets tired of it, too, you know.
Yeah.
But there's nothing I can do about it.
No. Well...
Well, why don't you try a little later on? Maybe you'll be able to get a hold of Hargett then, because...
All right.
I don't think that Art would be able to help you out on that anymore.
No, he said he didn't remember. No, I don't. I'm sure I wouldn't be as good a patient as Arthur is.
Well, yeah, you know the dentist remarked about that too. He says, "Boy, he says for a man of his age, he's an awful good patient for to go through what he's been going through."
Yeah.
And he said again yesterday, he said that's the first in all his experience with dentistry, and he says he's taken out about 2 bushel baskets of teeth.
Yeah.
And he says that's the worst one that he's ever got a hold of.
And it would happen on Mr. Eastman at this
particular
time.
Yeah, it just seemed like it had to be him.
Yeah.
But he's been, the dentist has been awful good about it. He said yesterday, he says, well, he says, one thing about it, he says, this tooth is costing me money. He says, it ain't costing you, but it's costing me.
Oh.
So he isn't charging for the trips and the medication for taking care of that spasm, see?
Yeah.
But I imagine probably it'll be another $20 when that tooth comes out.
Yeah.
He says the tooth is loose, but it's just that he can't get can't get into his mouth to get a hold of it.
Yeah. Well, that's a dad burner thing.
Hmm?
That is something, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. See, he lanced around that and tried to split the tooth and one thing another, you see, and then, of course, that spasm in there, why, it got, after he worked on it that one day, he couldn't do no more.
Yeah.
There's that spasm come in there, and that just ended that business now until that comes out.
Yeah. Yes, we had this little girl up here who's nice with horses, and...
Yeah, he was telling me about that.
We were hoping y'all could get back up and...
No, we couldn't make it.
Yes.
He's so doggone busy, it isn't even funny, you know. And then, of course, I had some carpeting here that I wanted to get down. And so I had him tied up Saturday afternoon myself.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because we wanted to get this carpeting down, and he's got so much work to do, and I knew if I didn't catch him then, Lord knows when I would get it down. So
I have to
catch him when I can.
Yeah.
And I kind of maybe spoke a little bit out of turn. Well, not really out of turn. I don't mean that. But what I mean, I kind of... got on to him a little bit and told him I wanted to get it down, and then he was going to just put the one piece down. I said, nothing doing. I said, you're going to finish it up while you're at it, because Lord knows when you'll finish it. So we've got it down now, but the only thing is we got to smooth it out. It's been rolled up, see, and it's got a few little humps in it. And when that gets smoothed out, well, then we got to finish trimming it off, and then it'll be all set.
Did you hear him talking about working on Miss Lois Dixon's picket fence?
Yeah. Yeah, he mentioned about that, too.
He told us about it yesterday, and that's a big job.
Oh, that got him down. He said, boy, he said, of all the work that he's ever done, he said he don't know when he's had anything that got him down the way that did. He really got tired of that job before he got through.
He said Mr. Cockrell or somebody stopped by there and watched him, and he said he took hold of one of those palings, and he says, you know, this ain't got 4 sides.
Yeah, I know. He come home and told me about him making that remark. Yeah, that was a monotonous job.
Yeah.
He said, boy, he said he didn't believe that he'd ever tackle another one. He's got some house painting to do as soon as he can get to it. They've all been pretty patient waiting on him, but they want him to do it, so... They just have to wait until he can get to them.
Yeah. Well, now, that's a pretty fence that he, after he got through with it.
Yeah, but it was really a job. And I'm telling you, when he'd come home at night, he was so tired, it was pitiful. And then he'd get them leg cramps.
Oh.
You know, from kneeling down, or not so much kneeling down, but, you know, in the positions that he'd have to get into.
Yeah.
And he seemed like that he wouldn't anymore and get sit down or go to bed, and then he'd get them cramps and have to get up and walk the floor until they worked him out.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
So, you see, it's, you know, it take a man of his age, you know, and doing that work, it gets pretty rough.
Well, let me tell you, you know, a fella sure can misjudge anything. I figured a fella could scrape those pickets and paint them and tack them up in maybe a day and a half.
Oh, my goodness, no. That's one of the most tedious jobs that there is picking pets, painting them pickets. I've done it, so I know.
You've done it?
I done it when I was up in Michigan, yeah. Now, I was a lot younger than I am now, though, when I did that.
Yeah.
But I know what it is, and they're a miserable thing.
Well, the thing that was hardest for me is to get in between them.
Yeah.
I didn't have a brush or a scraper, you know, that would go in very easy.
The only way a person really ought to do with them is to have a spray outfit.
Yeah.
You know, and spray paint them.
Uh-huh.
But she had that other kind of paint, you know, that was supposed to take care of mildew and what have you, you know, to keep them from rotting out so much.
Uh-huh.
She had that kind of paint, you know. Of course, that had to go on with a brush.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
It had creosote in it. That's what I was trying to say.
Oh.
And, you know, and that had to go with a brush.
It gum up your spray.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know. Well, you know, that was sort of a complicated job, wasn't it?
It sure was. And then he had to do a lot of repair work besides and some scraping. And Thomas was supposed to help him. Well, Art had worked on it for a while, and then Thomas, he kind of spouted off, and, well, Art told him to come on and work with him, and he only worked, I think it was one or two days, I forget just which it was now, and then his brother died, and he never did come back.
Yeah.
So Art had to finish it up alone.
Well, is that right? He didn't get any help much on it.
No, he done the biggest majority of it himself. Because what little help he got out of Thomas, it wasn't enough to mention.
That scraping, I thought, would be the hardest thing.
Well, scraping is hard. You know, it all depends on the condition.
Yeah.
You know, if it's real bad, why, it really gets monotonous with that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Of course,
well,
he didn't have to scrape at all, but some of it had to be scraped.
Well, he seemed to have a sense of humor, and he laughed about it after.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, He laughs about it and all that, but it wasn't funny at the time.
Hard work.
Yeah.
Well, he ought to got Miss Lewis out there to help him.
She wasn't there only part of the time.
Oh, she wasn't?
No. And she don't do any painting anywhere or anything else. He went up there and I think it was her that he had to do paint some chairs for here just a day or two ago.
Oh. Well, I thought she worked out in the yard all the time.
Oh, no. She gives those piano lessons. And she's hauling all the widows and what have you around, you know, to town and so on and so forth. And she takes trips and...
Hauling what?
Huh?
Hauling what did you say?
The widows. The women. The widows around McIntosh. She takes them to town and one thing another.
Oh.
Old maids and widows. And...
Well, she runs taxi, you might say.
Yeah, you might just well call it that. It amounts to the same thing.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, she does quite a lot of that for people around there.
Oh. So she don't have time to paint her picket fence?
Well, I don't think she would if she could.
Even if she wanted to.
No, she depends on Art to do most of her maintenance work around there.
Yeah. Ms. Eastman, I enjoyed the visit with him.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you called, but I think that your best bet will be just keep trying until you can get a hold of him.
I believe that'd be the best bet.
Yeah, because he's there most of the time, but of course he's not too well either. Now, he might have had to go to the doctor or something too, you know, you don't know.
Well, you know, that's right, delightful in this way. Well, now, she filled in the background on from that wisdom tooth, Mr. the injured the nerve, and the Arthur can't open his mouth wide enough for the dentist to extract that tooth. I don't know how he talked up here. And then she talked about the picket fence, and she made it strong, too. That's hard work for Mr. Eastman. When he went to bed at night, he had the cramps in his leg. And then at the end, Miss Lois is too busy holding the widows around, so it's all nice. 4:45, channel one over, 4:45, channel one over, on this second reel, Mr. Eastman's second reel. And this is Monday morning, the 17th of November, 69.